Welcome back to State of the News on WFPL. I'm Rick Hallett. We're going to turn our attention now for the next few minutes to some things going on in the music world. And joining us to talk about it is Sean Cannon. Sean hosts program After Dark on our sister station WFPK from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. Monday through Thursday. And he is also the editor of BuzzGrinder.com, which is a music blog. Sean, welcome to the program.
I'm glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Let's talk about this case. These killings that happened in the hip-hop world years ago, Tupac Shakur and Biggie Smalls, and there's been a lot of speculation about what happened, who did it, and whatnot, and there's some new information coming out from an LAPD, a former LAPD detective.
A detective named Greg Kading recently self-published a book. It was called Murder Rap, and he alleges that Suge Knight, who was the head of Death Row Records, and Sean Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, Diddy Daddy, Combs, whatever his name is this week, that they were actually the guys that engineered both murders. Of course, Suge Knight for Biggie Smalls and Puff Daddy for Tupac Shakur, you know, when the East Coast, West Coast rap feud was at its height. And apparently, according to Kading, in his book, he said that the LAPD suppressed evidence. They even had taped confessions from hired guns saying that these gentlemen actually hired them to do the job.
Now, Tupac was killed after a boxing match in Vegas, right?
Right, right.
And I've forgotten about Biggie Smalls. Was that elsewhere?
I think that he was actually on the West Coast at the time as well when that happened, but I can't remember the specific circumstances. But that's why both murders were investigated by the LAPD.
Now, what has been the reaction in the industry to this latest information?
Well, it's kind of hard to gauge because obviously it hasn't made a huge splash. This former detective self-published the book, but at the same time, Puff Daddy recently sent a letter to LA Weekly saying that he did not do it. In fact, he said specifically, "This is pure fiction and completely ridiculous." So, it must be substantial in some nature if one of the primary subjects of the book is actually responding to it in the first place.
Now, are the police still actively investigating these cases?
It is an open investigation, but I think considering that there hasn't been much headway made in the last 6, 7, 8 years, that I don't know that this will change things, especially since he was obviously a member of the LAPD, and there's likely a reason why mm-hmm. he's not now.
Yeah. Is this East Coast, West Coast feud still going on? You don't hear much about it as much.
No, right? I think that that's kind of... It's over partially because a lot of the most popular rap music these days is coming from the South, whether it's Atlanta or even like the Southwest as kind of sort of a mecca for that. And also Minnesota, surprisingly, has been putting out a lot of the avant-garde rap. So, I mean, you know, while there are still people obviously in New York and L.A. doing hip-hop music, they're not necessarily these huge, you know, centers of power like they were in the 90s.
You don't think of Minnesota as a mecca for him.
No, I mean, you wouldn't. But, you know, apparently, like I said, the cutting edge of hip-hop music is there in Atlanta. You know, there are a few other places sort of interspersed around the United States. It's kind of, you know, it's a different world. You know, you do think of New York, L.A., that's about it. But it's not really that way anymore.
We're talking with Sean Cannon from our sister station WFPK about some news in the music industry. We'll take a giant leap now from hip-hop to the world of folk music. And we lost a well-known British folk musician this week, Bert Jansch. Am I saying that right, Bert Jansch?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, you know, you might be thinking, well, that name doesn't necessarily ring a bell. But the thing is, he is one of those guys who influenced almost everyone. I think what's really telling is Smith's guitarist, Johnny Marr, he said he completely reinvented guitar playing, and he set a standard that's still unequal today. That's, you know, that's kind of a big statement. But he goes even further. He says, without Bert Jansch, rock music as it developed in the 60s and 70s would have been very different. You can hear him in Nick Drake, Pete Townsend, Donovan, The Beatles, Jimmy Page, and Neil Young. So while you might not know him specifically, there is a good reason why, you know, this is an important guy, and it's important that he passed away.
So people called him the British Bob Dylan.
Yeah, that's correct. But, you know, if you're wondering sort of what to expect from him, it's very much in that vein. He, you know, he was sort of in vogue right there at the height of the British folk revolution. And, you know, depending on who you ask and how they think about him, you'll get a lot of different reactions because he was also in the band Pentangle. And you know, even Led Zeppelin specifically stole music from him. I know that they kind of have a history of stealing from musicians, but usually it was guys that weren't in a position to fight. In this instance, it was very apparent and obvious that it happened, and he almost took legal action. But at the time, you're not going to take Led Zeppelin to court.
Right. And there's a great appreciation. I think I heard it on the air yesterday, and you can catch it online now at npr.org on their All Songs Considered blog. And before we let you go, I want to talk about the controversy this week with Hank Williams Jr. and Monday Night Football. What's going on there?
Oh, yeah. Bo Cephas kind of stuck his foot in his mouth, although I don't think he sees it quite that way. He was doing an interview, and they were talking about a recent golf match between President Obama and John Boehner, if I'm not mistaken. He said, if memory serves, that's like Hitler playing with Netanyahu, mm-hmm. Of course, referring to Obama as Hitler. ESPN, not too happy about that. They pulled his music intro, you know, All My Rowdy Friends Are Coming Over Tonight. I think they pulled it indefinitely, but now it's official. They're done. But Hank Williams says it's not their doing. He's the one that decided it. He said specifically, let me get this quote right because it's not exactly the best worded thing, but he said that they stepped on the toes of the First Amendment freedom of speech, so therefore me, my song, and all my rowdy friends are out of here. So he decided. Yes, apparently he decided. I think it's one of those he said, she said situations.
Right. And this was an interview with Fox News. He didn't specifically compare Obama to Hitler initially, but they came back and asked him about it.
Right, and he kept going. Initially, it was just sort of a simple statement. He was ready to leave it there. But, of course, Hank Williams Jr. never wanted to step away from controversy.
All right. Sean Cannon is the host of After Dark from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. on our sister station, WFPK, Monday through Thursday. And he's also the editor of BuzzGrinder.com, a music blog. Sean, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.